Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not everyone in the building, Gerard. Not everyone.
Nope.
Some people not aware that he was even on the team. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons here.
Google Marcus. Siri, who's Marcus Jones?
I mean, that whole exchange is based off of comments made by Van Pelt yesterday, which I'm still shocked he even said all that. Like, why say that? Why share that with people?
Because he's a nice, honest man. No, he is. Like, I mean, I think that's the simple answer.
You
he's
can
a
be nice and
man.
You can be honest, and you can also protect yourself against looking like a total jackass.
But I think there's some naivete there with him, that he's just a nice guy and he's just going to be honest, and that's what we do. And what's the big deal if I didn't know he played offense?
What's the big deal?
No, I think that was kind of...
Okay, but I mean...
He clearly didn't think it was a big
deal.
The fact
that he doesn't see that makes everybody look horrible, that he didn't know that. And that saying that, like, you know, even if you're a nice, honest guy, right? And I agree with you. I think he is a nice, honest guy. But even if you are, isn't there just a little voice in the back of your head saying, you know...
Don't say it.
Don't tell all these people that you didn't know the guy was on the team and that you didn't know he ever played offense and that, you know, you only thought of him as a defensive back and you had to Google who he was and, like, all that other stuff. Like,
this happens to all of us. Aren't there times in life where you are in a situation and you're like, you clearly realize you don't know something that everybody around you knows, and you're at that, like, make or break point. Do I admit it or do I just, like, play along and
fake it till you make it?
Yeah. Like, for example, for me, it took me forever to know that Flo Rida was Florida. I never saw it. I was like,
that was what the name was. Florida is the word Florida.
It's just the word Florida split up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were thinking that he went by Florida.
No. And I was like,
you guys heard this new song by Florida?
No. Awesome. I'm much hipper than that. I'm hipper than Alex Van Pelt, too.
I'm hip.
I'm much hipper than Alex Van Pelt. I think you can agree. I bet you Alex Van Pelt doesn't know who SZA is.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He didn't know who Marcus
Jones who Marcus
was.
Jones is either. Marcus Jones, by the way, is a musician. Did you know that? He has, like, an R&B song.
Yeah. Did not know that.
It's not very good, but
I bet you Alex Van Pelt does, because when he Googled it, it probably came up.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, Marcus Jones, the musician. Yes, my favorite.
FYI, there's also a guy who was running for Congress in Arkansas. That's Marcus Jones.
Okay.
I wasn't familiar with him. Army vet.
Good for him.
Colonel retired Marcus Jones.
He's running for Congress?
I don't know. It says Marcus Jones for Congress.
Election's over, so did he win or not?
I don't know. I'm on his website.
Okay.
I'm going to meet Marcus. I don't know. It doesn't really say here whether he won or lost.
No.
There's no update news. I don't know.
Well, I would guess that if he won, they would update the website, so he probably lost, right? Wouldn't you think? Like, if
hasn't
he won,
been
they'd
updated
be like,
since October 23rd.
Interesting.
I don't think he won.
Yeah, he probably didn't win.
Wow, you really just scrap it.
Fought the good fights. They fired his web guy, and that was it. Yeah,
so
it's going to be out there.
I think this is terrible. And obviously, Gerard Mayo, you should know these questions are coming. These questions were coming to everybody. If you listen to any of the Tyler Hughes, Scott, like everybody, there was sort of these discussions. Okay, so let's get past that. It's idiotic that he didn't know. The other part of it, like, oh, how many gadget plays are we going to run? I mean, I don't know. First of all, you have a bunch. You've run a bunch of gadget plays.
You've run a few, so yeah.
Second of all, I don't really consider him necessarily a gadget guy. Run like a bubble screen to him.
Yeah.
I don't need like a crazy play.
He scored a touchdown off a regular old bubble screen behind the line of scrimmage. That's it. It wasn't a gadget
play. You want to go pistol and run a toss sweep with him carrying the ball. I don't care. That's what he does on punt
returns.
Doesn't
have to be like a flea flicker or something. You just give him the ball
and
let him go.
Ball,
yeah.
Block a few people and see if you can get him in space.
Right.
Okay. There's another layer. Then the next thing I want to disagree with. He's most valuable on defense. I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know about that either.
I think he's best as a punt returner, and what he's second best at is still up for debate, whether it's the ball in his hands on offense or on defense. Now, you could argue just depth-wise, you need him. You're stuck with him because they don't have a lot of cornerback depth behind him. And those three guys, Jones, and Gonzalez, have been their primary corners all year.
All year long they have been. And their backups are like Alex Austin,
yeah.
Isaiah Bolden, you know, guys who aren't getting a ton of starts and a lot of big assignments. So, yeah.
So I think there's still a question where he could be most impactful and effective. And then the next extension is the cheap shot I took at the receivers. Like, how bad are you that they're at the bottom of the barrel where he didn't even really know this guy played offense? Mm. So if you didn't know he played offense, you didn't know he scored a touchdown on a big play 2 years ago, right? Like that was never in the framework. And you were just willing, because he asked, all he did was ask, you gave him plays. That tells you how little they think of the wide receivers, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because they have wide receivers that can't get snaps.
Right.
Right? Javon Baker can't find his way onto the field. Tyquan Thornton couldn't find his way onto the field until they cut him. And yet, random cornerback named Marcus Jones texts the offensive coordinator. He's like, yeah, I'll get you out there next week. Like, right away, I'll get you out there next week.
Sure, whatever you say.
Doesn't that tell you something?
Let's try it out. Let's see what happens. And the fact that it went through all those steps, embarrassing steps, like, this had all already happened. They were asking him about it after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I didn't even know he was like.
Right.
Why would you say
why that? Why go public with it?
Why say that? You know?
Because he's honest and nice.
That's too honest. That's too honest.
What do you mean?
It's too honest.
Honesty is always the answer.
There is no, that's not at all. You can be honest and withdraw things. You don't have to let everybody know every single thought in your head all the time. If you're asking about Marcus Jones, say, yeah, you know, we hadn't really found the right way to use him yet or something. I mean, you could say anything.
What they've been saying today. We wanted him to settle in and be healthy at corner before we expanded his workload.
Right, which would have sounded like bull crap anyway, but I would have taken that over this anytime. Right. And this just made, you know, it's like the thing with the Hall of Fame, you know. You can say things that are honest and that are true, but that embarrass you and embarrass your team and embarrass the rest of the coaching staff. And I think that's what happened. And now Jerod Mayo has to come out and try and dress it up like it's some, you know, no big deal. But
and we know he's not good at that.
He's not.
Clean up aisle six. Yeah. He's not good at it.
Even when he's ready for it, he's like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask me this question. Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me go back into my Rolodex of great comebacks for this. Like, we know this isn't Jerod Mayo's forte, okay?
No.
And it certainly sounded like that anyways. I hope they keep using Jones on offense.
Me too. So the football part of it, let's stick to that. So the embarrassing AVP start part aside, didn't know him, okay, let's move on. First of all, I guess there, does that alter your view of him in any way?
Of Van Pelt?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's like ill-prepared or underqualified? Like, how so?
In the sense that you're an offensive coordinator, you should be, first of all, you should know who the players on your team are and when they've played offense or not. I mean, I think that's just a simple bit of due diligence that he wasn't doing. And also, it sort of speaks to me as a guy who's just so entrenched in the quarterback and trying to make him look good that he's kind of foregone a lot of other things. You know, I just kind of think that that's what it's all about with him, and that was kind of what he was advertised as. He was advertised as a QB whisperer, not necessarily a big scheme guy, not necessarily a big play caller, and I think that just sort of further enforces it, that he's got tunnel vision towards his quarterback and misses a lot of other things that are out there.
And if you believe Mayo...
So I guess it doesn't change my mind that much, but it reinforces my already held belief.
Well, I truly had, I think, turned a little positive corner for Alex Van Pelt this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And now this makes me question it and go back.
180.
Right back. Absolutely. An awaken 180 turnaround here. Right back around. But even to the point where, so Jerod said we have these conversations all the time. We talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did the most obvious one slip through the cracks of these conversations? I'm not saying you should, have you talked about Keon White at tight end? Oh, he played tight end in college? I didn't know that.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's a few that are right off the top possibilities because of their histories and their experiences. And you claim you have these conversations all the time. What's that phrase he's been using for all his tough decisions? We're ahead of the game or we stay ahead. Or I forget how he says it, but like in times of calm, we prepare for all
these. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes me doubt all
exactly,
the crap.
Yeah.
I guess it just makes me doubt. How prepared are you?
Mm.
How much time are
you? When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you spending on all the details and the minutia? Is maybe that why you're actually not seemingly so prepared in some of these gotta have it situations or tight, right? Like, doesn't this call into question sort of the overall credibility of the coaching staff?
100%.
I don't want to make too dramatic of it, but like, you let kind of a big thing just fall through the cracks here.
Yeah.
So what else is falling through the cracks on a week-to-week basis?
Great question. And I think that, you know, we're used to 20 years of Bill Belichick, who was very detail-oriented and very into guys who could do different things on the field and stuff like that. So we all are surprised to see that there's someone here who, first of all, and you just mentioned, like, a guy who played tight end in college. This wasn't college. This was on the same exact team 2 years ago with Gerard Mayo was still the part of the coaching staff. So, like, there's no excuse for this. And I also think on some level Mayo should have said, hey, you know, at what point are we going to try and reincorporate Jones back into the offense? He hasn't said that all year.
Especially,
obviously, if he had, then Van Pelt would have come to this realization much sooner.
He's not the head coach of the offense, so he needs to mind his own business to stay out of the offense.
Evidently. 617-779-7937. Jay's in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
You're doing a good show. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks.
But I'll tell you right now, as far as the Robert Kraft situation goes, we won 6 Super Bowls and you didn't, so eat feces. Let's see another professional team duplicate that, and I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs will do that. Mm. But regarding the Patriots,
eat feces.
They're playing Miami, coming up in Miami. I believe they'll pull off a win. They came one play away from beating a playoff team like the Rams. I think the Patriots are playing over their heads, and I wonder, what is the sentiment in New England? Are they appreciative of that fact? Because you realize the Patriots are better than they appear. They're killing their draft picks by winning, but go Patriots. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Jay. I think that right now fans are sort of at a crossroads with this team. I think that in general, the consensus that I'm getting here from calls and sort of the general tenor online and the text line and things like that, which again is a small sample size, but I think we have our finger somewhat on the pulse of all of this.
Damn right.
I think there is a bit of a inflection point right here between, is this all about the draft pick? Because right now you're not in the top three anymore. You're 6th, I think. Is this all about the draft
pick? A lot of teams in that whole bungled top mess.
Yeah, that's
true. 10. You've pointed out there's a lot of bad teams.
There are. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year. And you're still one of those bad teams. But you can win 4 or 5 games and separate yourself from the dregs of the league. And I think that's kind of where it is right now. And I think fans are sort of in between. Because that was a good loss, I mean, in terms of like wins and losses, if you're going to have bad losses and good losses, I thought that was a decent loss to the Rams. That was a team that's better than you, and they won the game, but you hung around with them, and you were able to make it interesting, and they're just more talent on that roster than you have. And I think the same thing's going to be happening this weekend with the Dolphins. I will say this, though. I'm not quite convinced that the Patriots are going to go down there and do what they've been doing these last couple of weeks with the close games. I have a feeling the Dolphins are going to blow doors. And the reason why I think that is because of the way the Dolphins play the Rams. The Dolphins manhandled the Rams up front, and then the Rams manhandled you up front. So I'm just worried about what's going to happen when the Dolphins get their hands on that offensive line, and vice versa, too. I think that the Dolphins did a pretty good job of keeping Tua upright in that game. And really, to me, though, it's about their defense going after the Rams offense. And that Rams offensive line kept Stafford upright the whole game.
Yep.
And they were throwing Keon White and Godchow and all those guys, just throwing them around. And that was an offensive line that got smoked by the Dolphins. So I'm worried about that.
And certainly Vegas is too. I mean, it's 7.5.
Yeah.
You're more than a touchdown underdog.
And I'm hearing a lot of people say, oh, I love Patriots are my number one pick this week. And no. I can't get there. No.
I think I'm going to be taking the Dolphins. I'm kind of with you. And I don't know that they're going to get blown out necessarily. I don't know that it's going to be a
two scores. You know,
but I mean, 10 points is a cover for Miami, and they could control the game start to finish. You could have a cheap late score or something to make it look a little closer than it really is. I have some doubts about this game. The one interesting matchup or the one interesting consideration to me is the receiver thing. So the other team had two receivers last week. The other team used those two receivers to beat you. Everybody bitched about the game plan and Gonzalez and that whole thing. This week, the other team has two notable receivers in Hill and Waddle. Mm-hmm. But they've added a little bit of this Jonnu Smith thing of late where he's
Smith's
a catch-and-run guy,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But are you going to let two receivers beat you again? You know, that's modern NFL is two receivers. Can you handle it? What are you going to do with Gonzalez? Is Jonathan Jones really some sort of matchup for Tyreek Hill and Kryptonite, whatever, there? I think that's the interesting matchup in this game. But I would just start with Miami. Like, Miami's a tough place for this team to play, for whatever. I know Mayo tried to downplay it. It's not like early in the year. It's not September. It's not that real heat. It's not that, if anything, it's kind of a nice change this time of year.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, talk to me in the third quarter.
How many times did Ryan Fitzpatrick beat Tom Brady down there?
And that's my whole thing.
You know, like, how many times did Jay Fiedler and those guys, no matter what, it didn't seem like it mattered who the quarterback even was. They always beat the Patriots. It's crazy.
And then you bring up the inflection point. We talked about it, I think you and I talked about it. Fitzy and I definitely talked about it in the Six Rings postgame show. So last week was a big Hunter Henry Kendrick Bourne week, which that's great. It helped you compete.
Yep.
Is that what you want to be? Because if that's what you want to be, that'll probably give you a better chance to maybe win some games, and that might hurt your draft pick. Or are we developing young receivers? You know, my favorite quote from Alex Van Pelt yesterday was something to the effect, like, there's no rookies anymore. It's midseason.
Right.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Because he's like, we need more from these guys. We need them to be, like, you're not rookies. And I personally would like to see some of these guys sink or swim. I know everybody's down on Polk, Baker, whatever.
I think we already got an answer on some of those guys.
Well, yeah, but halfway through. Give them a chance to really solidify it. Put a couple more nails in their career coffin, so to speak. Because to what end? If you throw the ball, it's great if Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne combine for like 13 catches and 150 yards. It's probably not enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really done nothing for the foundation of the future, which Gerard Mayo told me was one of the keys.
I disagree with that.
Why?
I think that the future is all about Drake May, right? So if those guys are getting open, and they're getting open in the red zone or the end zone or whatever it is, and he's looking for them and finding them, that helps him, and that helps his development, and it helps his stats and his numbers, and I think that
it helps his stats and his numbers, absolutely.
That doesn't help his development?
I'm not sure it does.
I think it does.
I think he's fine. I'm very confident in him. What I think would help the team development, the offense development, and by extension his development, is are any of these guys that are going to be good players
for this
team?
Putting crappy rookies out there and hoping that
finding
he can force the ball into them? I don't know about that.
You actually asked Curran yesterday, do we need to reset the wide receiver position?
Right.
I want to find that out.
I think I already know the answer.
But it's still early. You got to give them the whole season.
I think it's not that early.
I mean, it's only mid-season, but so you kind of agree with me.
Even if Jalen Polk has like three good games after this, he's still going to have a lousy year.
Yeah, but if he's trending in the right direction, there's a lot of people we see the end of a season and go, oh, that's something he can build
maybe
on
he'll be
into
better
next
year. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
right?
Maybe that's true.
I could say, wow, from week 1 to 17, he sucked. He's not going to be what I thought he was. He's not what I drafted him to be. I need X number of receivers. I need to reset the button. It stink, it stank, it stunk, and they all got to go.
Kind of, yeah.
Speaking of stink, stank, and stunk.
Yes, of course. Speaking of that, Mike Giardi, who doesn't stink, stank, or stunk, but he did call the receivers last year by that very inflammatory name. I remember a lot of people got upset about that.
And he was right.
But he was right. And I think I'm right about this year's wide receiver crop as well. We'll talk about that with him as well as some other things going around in the NFL. Stephen A. Smith with an all-time rant today about the Giants and Danny Dimes, who is no longer with the team. And I think that could be interesting, is there's a lot of teams out there that are not happy with their quarterback situation. Will they turn to Daniel Jones? Could that affect the Patriots in any way? We'll get to all of that right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.